Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is our gospel lesson this morning, recorded in John chapter 5. Dearly loved by God in Christ, it's not uncommon for sons and daughters to follow their fathers into a particular business. The Indianapolis Star had an article, I believe it was a couple days ago, maybe even last Sunday, about some women who owned car dealerships that previously their fathers had owned. It's not unusual to see the words a name and son or and sons painted on a sign or on the side of a truck. When we see those expressions and those situations, generally we assume that when you deal with that business, you're going to receive the same personal qualities and ways of doing business from the children as you did from the fathers. In other words, it doesn't really matter whom you're doing business with. When you're working with one, you're working with the other. Jesus had just healed a crippled man on the Sabbath. And when the Jews, who were looking for an excuse to arrest Jesus or to get him out of the picture, heard about this, they confronted our Lord and accused him of breaking the Sabbath law. Jesus' response was this: "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." Jesus was saying, doesn't matter who's doing the work, my Father or I. We're both doing the work because I am God and the Father is God. Jesus here stakes his rightful claim to the unity of essence and purpose between him and God the Father. It didn't get by the Jews. They understood just exactly what Jesus was saying, and they didn't like it. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. These verses set the table for our text on this second Sunday of end time, where we talk about last judgment. Because it is in that context of the equality between the Father and the Son that we look at our theme that the Father has entrusted all judgment to his Son. First, so that all will honor the Son. And secondly, so that the Son's judgment is pleasing to the Father. Jesus had another father while he was here on this earth. Joseph was his legal father and a carpenter. We don't really know exactly how much Joseph said or showed to Jesus growing up about being a carpenter. But certainly, whatever Jesus saw and heard about being a carpenter, he saw it and heard it from his father, so that he could, for a time, do that work that his father did. But now Jesus says that I saw and heard some work, how to do it, what to do, why I'm doing it. I saw and heard that also from my Heavenly Father. everything I've seen, everything I heard, everything I know about doing the work of being the world's Savior, I got from my Father. Because it's His work. And His work is my work because we are one. Jesus makes this point to His enemies that that work of love that He had done as the Lord of the Sabbath was pleasing to God, and they should honor Him for doing that work of love on the Sabbath because He was doing the work that His Father, that they claimed to worship and follow, wanted Him to do. Jesus says that His Heavenly Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. How can you argue with me about healing this man on the Sabbath when I'm doing my Father's work of coming into this world and loving the lost world and being their Savior? They had seen Jesus do a great thing. And Jesus said, I didn't do it independently. I did it in connection with my Father. And the Father is going to show you even greater things than this that we're going to do together. You think this was great, that I healed this man on the Sabbath? You're going to see greater things than that. My Father, the Father, raises the dead. He gives the power to raise people from their graves. But it is also the Father's work, as it is the Son's work, to raise us from our spiritual death in our sins and transgressions. Jesus said, just as the Father raises the dead, the time is coming and has already come when you're going to see the Son raise the dead, so that you can honor the Son just like you honor the Father. This is our spiritual resurrection from unbelief to faith. In Revelation 20, John calls this the first resurrection. This is not some kind of millennial physical resurrection of believers while the unbelievers have to stay in their graves and wait for a second resurrection. You and I have experienced the first resurrection as Christ, working in agreement with the Father, also in agreement by the Holy Spirit, working through the gospel, has raised us from spiritual death and brought us into the new spiritual life of faith. In this sense, judgment already has taken place. Judgment takes place as the gospel is preached and people come to believe in Jesus as their Savior. Jesus says the Father has sent the Son, and whoever believes in Him has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. We don't have to wait for the last judgment to cross over from death to life. We have already crossed over from death to life as Christ has called us to faith by the Spirit in the gospel. The Son is pleased to give life to whom He is pleased to give it. What a blessing as you and I consider this Sunday of Last Judgment that God our Father has graciously chosen to give us new life in Christ. That He has raised us from that spiritual death. That He has released us from that certainty of eternal separation in hell, in eternal death from Him. And has already given us eternal life. You and I are already in possession of eternal life. We don't always enjoy it because the devil is still trying to destroy us and we still carry around our old sinful natures. But we don't ever forget that we already have eternal life, and through faith in Christ, we are not condemned. literally, not judged. Judgment is already taken place. We won't be judged on the last judgment because we already believe in Jesus as our Savior from sin. This salvation, this resurrection, this first resurrection is the common work that the Father does and the Son does and the Holy Spirit does through the gospel. They are equal to one another in the divine essence. They agree in the purpose of the divine judgment that we now, as the children of God, have eternal life and are no longer under the sentence of condemnation. This is the reason, Jesus said, why he wants the Son to be honored like the Father. Because he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. A father hands down his business to his son so that his son can take care of business the good way that his father did, so that his father can be glorified in the way that the son does it. And by giving glory to the son, you're also giving glory to the father. If the son is not the son or does not act like the son, then there is no glory given to the Father. This is why we call Unitarian churches idols. Because churches that do not equate the Son with the Father, who do not teach the equality of the Son with the Father, those who deny the Son and His work, then deny the Father and His work. The glory of the Father who is working with the Son. And that's why there is no salvation. There is no true God worshipped in any religion that does not teach that Jesus is God equal to the Father. But since the Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son, in order that the Son can be honored, or that the Father is honored through the Son, so it's true that every judgment the Son makes is to be pleasing and is pleasing to the Father. Again, it's when that son or daughter carries out their business the way they were taught by what they saw and heard, when that is good, then glory and praise is given to the Father. And that pleases the Father, that when they gave that business to the son or daughter, that they're doing it exactly the way they wanted it to be done. Jesus is our Savior and judges us exactly the way the Father wants it done. And that's why it's pleasing to the Father. And it's done, the judgment is done by the Son. It's done on the basis of the Son's righteous obedience of the law and His innocent sacrifice for sin on the cross. That's why Jesus refers to Himself here by His favorite moniker, the Son of Man. He is the judge because He is the Son of Man. And He will judge on the basis of His own righteousness and the sacrifice that He made on the cross, which benefits are ours through faith. And so it is in that faith, it is in that safety, it is in that life that we will be living when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. And again, whether that the instant that we die and our soul goes to heaven, whether our bodies will be immediately with us, whether we'll be conscious of our bodies in the grave or wherever waiting judgment, it won't matter. And we don't know because our souls will be with Jesus, and we'll know that one day our bodies will be raised to join us. All who are in their graves, one general resurrection from the dead for all people, when Christ comes again once. And there will be evidence on which that judgment takes place. The evidence of faith in Christ's righteousness and His sacrifice, or a foolish trust in one's own righteousness. And the evidence will be presented. Those who have done good will rise to life. When we and all believers hand to Christ the works that He did for us, when we hand to Christ our faith and the sacrifice He made, we will live. But those who rise with nothing in their hands that Christ did or offered, when they can offer to Jesus only their own failings, their own miserable efforts, their own sins in which they remain because they have rejected what Jesus did for them, those evil works will manifest their unbelief, and then they will be condemned to eternal damnation. Jesus will not do the judging by Himself. The Father is judging through Him, and that's why it will be pleasing to God. The verdict that we have already heard, the verdict that will become public on Judgment Day, it will be just, it will be unarguable, and it will be irrefutable in the presence of God. There will be complete agreement. When Jesus invites us to His right side to take us into heaven, the Father will say, "I agree fully with your judgment, because that judgment is on the basis of what you did for them." Last judgment has nothing to fear for the believer. For through faith we will stand before our Lord Jesus covered in His blood and offering His holy works. For the believer, Jesus says, there is no condemnation. Literally, no judgment. You and I will not have to wait until the end to suddenly and finally find out where we're going. We don't have to wait for the end to God to suddenly and on some basis make up His mind where He's going to send us at the last minute. Judgment is already come to the house of God, and that judgment is not guilty through the blood of Christ. God gives us that new life in this first resurrection by the Spirit. We look forward to the day when we will hear Christ's voice at the second resurrection, and our glorified bodies will be reunited with our souls, and then we'll stand before our Judge forever, saints triumphant in heaven. More about that next week, God willing. Amen. And now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.